Meditation.
Depending on the quality of my mind.
You know, there's good days and bad days.
I mean, feel like the waterfall of thoughts. Every now and then, a nice calm.
I can't think of anything.
This is Meditation in the City.
The Shambhala New York podcast.
And I'm the host, Dave. And you're the listener. Thanks for listening. This is a debut podcast. This is a debut teacher to the podcast. Maho Kawachi is our teacher this week. This was a talk she gave at a weekly Dharma gathering a couple of weeks ago. And this is her first appearance on the podcast. Maho Kawachi is among the newer generation of teachers at the Shambhala Meditation Center of New York. And this was a great talk, a very moving talk, actually, about compassion. So we are glad Maho is with us, and we're glad you are going to have a chance to hear her give this talk. Visit our website, ny.shambhala.org, for more information about upcoming classes and retreats. Again, our 7-day meditation retreat is beginning August 18th. In September, we have a new round of courses beginning. Our introductory meditation course, which is called Meditation in Everyday Life, is beginning September 7th for the evening version of the course, September 5th for the daytime version, and lots of other great offerings happening in September. So visit us, ny.shambhala.org, click classes and programs, and take a look. See what's going on. We'd love to see you around the Shambhala Center. And now, here is Maho Kawachi. The first couple of minutes of this talk were not recorded, unfortunately, but you will get it, trust me. Just listen to the story she's telling, and it'll become clear very soon.
And without any anger, so to say, oh, here comes this very angry person. Well, he mislabeled me. He misunderstood me. So instead of reacting, I opened up and said to him, okay, for you, I'll be meat. Fine. So next for a few days, I stayed with him. Oh, and I forgot a very important point. As a good Samaritan myself, I had brought a small gift for him, because I stayed with him, so I knew that I need to bring something. So I brought him a bottle of olive oil and wine vinegar. And when I gave this gift to him, I could see a little softening in his face and a little kind of gratitude, but he didn't say thank you, just he accepted it and he kept calling me Mitsu the rest of the day. Yeah. But as time goes by, we became like a much more, so to say, I wouldn't say good friends, but we could talk. He watched TV all the time. And sometimes he went for this general contractor jobs. And the last day of that my staying, he invited us, myself and her daughter, my friend Patricia, and Mr. DiMaggio, and Mr. DiMaggio's girlfriend. He invited us to go to a dance hall. It's very old, maybe 5 times bigger than this space, and really old, dark, Christmas decoration is still hanging around kind of thing. But the band is amazing. It's like maybe 60, 70 years old white tuxedo guys, like big band, and Benny Goodman kind of old tunes. And everybody except us, my friend and I, everybody was really old and just, you know, really nice social dance settings. So Mr. DiMaggio asked me to dance. So we kind of, how do you call it, cheek to cheek-ish, and dance with this old tune. So he told me, he's a really charming guy, actually. He said, you're kind of my girl. So I said, okay, I'll be forever your Mitsu girl. Fine. So that was my visit. And that was that. And maybe after I came back to New York City, maybe a few weeks later, I got a thank you note from my friend telling me that her father was really appreciative of me staying with him. And she said, she wrote, he really changed the perspectives. He really changed the attitude about Japanese. So I was really pleased. Mr. DiMaggio and I exchanged just a Christmas card every year. And in 2003, he got heart attack. So I sent him flowers. And he replied. Just wanted to share. February 28th, 2003. My dear Mitsu, what a wonderful surprise when I heard a knock at the door, which I answered, and when I saw the most beautiful bouquet of flowers that I have ever seen, I could not wait to see who they were from. You made my day, and I'm indebted to you for giving me so much happiness and a warm feeling all over. Thank you for being so considerate of me. If you ever get back to town, I look forward to the pleasure of seeing you. Sincerely, Benny DiMaggio. Unfortunately, we never met later after that. He died on the second heart attack, so I never had a chance to meet him again. Looking back, that's my experience. I think I didn't change him. He changed their perspectives. Well, probably my little loving kindness energy was felt by his innate tender heart. So he changed the perspectives from evil axis to a little Mitsu girl, right? A bottle of olive oil changed the reputation of my country. That is not too bad. I am sure we have many opportunities to act on some difficulties and unreasonable aggressions. But before taking any actions or reactions, if you can take a deep breath and soften your heart and see what's going on. We don't need aggression over aggression.
Thank you so much for that story. I was really touched, and I guess, like, I'm afraid of when I do compassion meditation, you know, I have some people in my life that it's really hard to do it with. And I don't know at what point do you, you know, it's hard to get to that point. So I've been starting small, and it's scary to sort of progress, mm-hmm. to go further, you know, even with that person that, so I guess, how do you know when it's too much, when you've pushed yourself too far?
Probably you know the boundary and threshold. Sometimes it's funny because sometimes when you say you do this loving kindness meditation, even though I try to do this, my besties can be your enemies sometimes, because he or she is like nudging you, or let's say if I do to my mother is a very sticky point, you know. I like her, no, I love her, but right? So that kind of things. And enemy is a very interesting thing. In a way, it measures your depths of love and hate. Because this person, you don't have to love this person, but because this person touches you, not physically, touches your heart, it's almost like gloving your heart. So in a way, this person has certain karmic connections, even you don't like it. Does it make sense? So when you become much more flexible, your mind becomes flexible and much more capable of dealing with this very strong force, probably you can go deeper. But in the beginning, I wouldn't say you don't want to go to your nemesis or the person who really hurt you in the past. I wouldn't go that. My teacher, Ethan Nichtern, told us, why don't you start from this, like a movie star whom you don't like? So he said, Leonardo DiCaprio, he hates him. So, well, you can start from that level, right? And then when you feel like, okay, I can do more, one day you notice that you can go really deeper. But until then, just wait. It's okay.
You mentioned your teacher, but I couldn't hear. I didn't make out what teacher you have. And is it Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche? Chogyam
Trungpa?
Yeah.
I never met him.
Oh, well,
he was before my time.
Okay.
Sorry. He was gone like 1980s, right?
He's the reason for this whole place. Mm-hmm. I think he's the reason for this whole place. Rinpoche in, I think it was either cutting through spiritual materialism or the myth of freedom in the way of meditation. And one of those books, he said that you are the instrument of the situation. Where if you're going to be compassionate, or you're going to actually, well, that made sense, and everything I am saying is just collateral. But when you're the instrument of the situation, he was talking about Jesus and messing up the marketplace. And so somebody asked him, how do you be compassionate, or was Christ a lunatic, and he's just tearing up the temple where the moneylenders were affecting his house, the church. So so Rinpoche said that he was the instrument of the situation, and someone else asked him, "Could you just blow up if you're?" You think you're right, and he said absolutely not. So he wasn't condoning violence, but he was saying that being the instrument of the situation, it's more than personal. I'm through. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Just not sure about the situation because I was never been in that congregation, but. Probably when he said instrument is like, in a way, you kind of started this energy. And then in a way, because you make some actions or deed, and it causes another impact or ripple effect to the situation. It's in a way, you move this rock or roll the rock roll started this ball kind of thing. Well, I don't know, but I'm sorry, I just don't know that.
Probably talking about the same thing.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for that beautiful story. I was also really moved by it, and actually touched like a sort of tenderness in me that I have been sort of disconnected from for a few weeks. So I'm feeling reconnected with my feelings. It's nice. But I just wanted to reflect on and sort of bounce this around with you and anyone else who wants to chime in. The idea of like when he said mitsu to you, that you held space and that you didn't correct him or argue or defend yourself or anything. And I've been noticing, particularly with politics, I have a really hard time with silence, with holding silence if someone is doing something that is, even with their words, violent, aggressive, mm-hmm. racist, mm-hmm. et cetera. And mm-hmm. I feel like I have to do something because when we are silent, I feel like it makes it worse, and so, but I know that that's a fear-driven thing, so I just wanted to throw that out there,
mm-hmm.
see what you think. But I also love the way you, I just want to say, the way that you approached it was so much more, it's just amazing to me. You were able to open up all this loving without... you didn't match his aggression with aggression. Well, I don't know if what he was doing you would consider aggressive, but anyway, I'm going to stop now, too. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Totally. Yeah, so there are many options I could have taken, right? Probably by nature, myself, I'm not really an aggressive person to confront. And somewhere that moment, I knew that he had this view on us. But it was, in a way, misinformed. I mean, there are points, he had a point, but it's not really the right view. So with wrong view, you cannot say, you are wrong. If you say, you are wrong, they will say, no way. So it's like, doesn't work. So in a way, like martial arts, sometimes people kind of become like attackers, and you have to just kind of dodge and then just let it go. Well, so I don't know, I don't practice martial arts, but something like that. Yeah, I just, that's my tactics, anyway.
I just wanted to follow up on what the gentleman to the right was saying about Jesus and the moneylenders. I'm not particularly religious, but I do know some of the stories, and I've heard that that story mentioned in the context of what you're talking about a little bit, I think. And the way I think of it is when you're in a really, well, in that instance, I think they're looking at Christ in that situation as somebody who knew how to handle a very powerful situation in the correct way, even though it may have looked a little aggressive. Mm-hmm. But he handled it the correct way. And I think part of that is you handle that situation the right way with, just my interpretation of it. I see it as you handling that situation with Bernard DiMaggio, like, very well, being like in tune with what you could say to him or something like that. There's a level of just being in tune with the situation. And I think, as an example for myself, I can talk about, you know, 25 years ago, I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Estonia. And I was a teacher, and there are some kids in the neighborhood, because I was learning the language and things like that, mm-hmm. they used to make fun of me all the time, you know, like come home and things like that. And it used to irritate the hell out of me. It would make me like so angry. And I would even get involved in these like ridiculous little arguments with the kids, like get out of my door, stop throwing rocks at my door, blah, 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 all these kind of things. Not handling the situation and kind of exacerbating it, making you more of an object of teasing or just creating more aggression or something mm-hmm. like that. But I think what happens, what I've noticed through meditation is for myself personally and through this practice is that it's become so much easier to not just avoid conflict, but face it, you know, to face it as it is mm-hmm. Confidently, but without aggression. And I think when you can do things like you did right there, it's, you can do it in certain circumstances very well. And then there's other parts where I talk about myself personally. I know that I'm not like a match for the nemesis that you've got in front of you, and you can't quite get to where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you just got to work harder at it. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm still learning because I think that your reaction might be part of culture too, because I used to be like that. But what I learned is maybe just my own personal journey, maybe each person's different. But what I learned is after, if I do that, when I go home, I feel really bad. Then I feel, so I feel might be kind of nice to kind of talk to the person in a kindly tone, saying how I feel, like a, and then if the person accept, they accept, but if he doesn't accept, it's okay with me too. At least I express what bothers me, because I want everybody to be equal, including me. I'm important too, you are important too, but don't, you know. But maybe you are more, how to say, you already passed that kind of, I don't know. So maybe for you it's okay, but I don't know, that's how I feel. But, and also maybe if this person is really close to you, you probably will communicate to them, because you obviously want to close, how to say, you know, if this person is your boyfriend, you probably will communicate to this person, because, you know, it's not different labels. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm already Americanized in many ways. So maybe 20 years ago now, probably my reaction might be different. But I don't know. It could be. I chose that path, that moment. But now maybe I might have chosen another reaction to him if he were here. Yeah.
I mean, I think maybe you are right, because there's no right or wrong, because it's your journey.
Right.
It's like my sister, like, yeah, for example, my mom yelled at her really aggressively, like almost like insane, but she has this ability to take it without being effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a strength as well, but yeah, I mean, each person might
just, right. Thank you.
Have a different journey.
Thank you.
Hi. In my heart, I believe that the opposite of hate is not love. The opposite of hate is indifference. And I sort of believe that the opposite of love is not hate. It's sort of indifference. And the reason I ask is, it's very hard to meditate to love your enemy, but it's sort of very easy to meditate to the point where you're just totally indifferent toward your enemy. And I just want to know your perspective on that.
Sorry. It's really hard to meditate with loving kindness.
It's hard for me to meditate to loving kindness toward people who irritate me or people I can't stand. But it's very easy for me to meditate to the point where they're just totally indifferent to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like your perspective on that.
Well, this loving kindness. The quality of loving kindness is not like I love you. It's more like, can you really open up with this person without being afraid? Without pushing them away?
May I just speak in response? But sometimes when you work in an office situation where there are office politics involved, you just expose too much, and you can't, because, you know, so for those people that irritate you in an office environment, or, you know, it's just easier to be totally indifferent for me, because I think in most of our lives, we just have to deal with irritating people in, you know, from office politics to family members.
Why don't you start from, not may you be happy, more like may you be out of danger. Something more light, because if you say may you be happy, it's almost like giving you happiness, right? But how about at least this person, please, may you be safe. May you live okay. Can you start? Maybe you can start that way. Because if you say, I don't like these people, I don't like these people, I hate these office politics, it's in a way you just kind of cultivating negative energy more and more. So the first step is, can you at least stop from your side, hurt yourself? Because when you hate when you are upset with somebody or certain people, usually what happens is the energy comes back to you.
But I don't really hate. I just totally indifferent to
people. Oh, more like a shutdown or just try to avoid?
No, I feel pretty secure. I'm just going to go through whatever I need to go through and do my job and get out of there.
Oh, I see. But in a way, you kind of shut down the opportunity.
Shut down your what?
Shut down your opportunity. Like part of your life, you kind of not seeing it. Does it make sense? So instead of just going like this and what's it called, blind kind of thing for the horses, why don't you just a little bit loosen up this thing and what's going on here so that you don't miss any of your life?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining tonight, and hope we can meet again sometime soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Maho. And thank you all for listening. And come to our weekly Dharma gathering. It's every Tuesday night. It's at 7 o'clock. You can hear these talks live, in person. You can ask questions, meet the teachers, meet the other people who are attending. It's a great time. If you do not live in the New York City area, then there's probably a Shambhala Meditation Center near you. But come say hi, otherwise, if you're in the neighborhood. Email us at podcast@shambhalanyc.org. Your questions, comments, suggestions. We'd love to hear it. And tell your friends about the podcast. More great episodes coming up. See ya.